everybody, and welcome to the Blind Handyman Show number 98. Yes, sir, Bob. We tried to do it last week, but we're going to do it this week. 98. And it is October 26th, year 2004, and we're recording as we speak at the Little Ranch House on Southwood Drive right here in Lufkin, Texas. For the next hour, we'll talk about building, repairing, maintaining, all designed with the blind in mind. The host for the Blind Handyman, ladies and gentlemen, Don Shaw.
Well, Mr. Time, how are you doing on this nice, warm
wonderful Donnie. Good to have you here today. Don Patterson.
Yes, sir. Just sporting.
Love those Astros anyway. I don't care.
Still wearing my Astro hat. Couldn't sell it on eBay. I tried.
No one would want it.
No takers.
No takers, huh?
My name is Tom Houston. Ladies and gentlemen, right now, the creator and producer of the Blind Handyman Show. Here he is, Phil Parr.
Thank you so much, Tom.
You're certainly welcome.
It's just wonderful the way you introduce me every week and get us right into the old show. Pretty exciting, isn't it?
Oh, boy.
Hello there. Welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. I get confused sometimes and think it's not, but it is. All right, let me tell you this little story. So we go to the club on Wednesday nights. We all know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're very birthday-oriented at the club. Barbara Peterson and Leonard and Penny and all those are very birthday-oriented at the club. So my birthday was on the cruise. Was at my 64th birthday. It was the 12th of October while we were gone on the cruise.
Yeah. Okay.
But I wasn't at the club on the 13th, so they decided to celebrate on the 20th, which was last Wednesday. We went out there, and they, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, and they gave me a couple sets of guitar strings, two or three other things, a gift certificate to Best Buy.
All right.
I put it all in a sack, little sack, and I set it between my feet under the table so it would be out of the way, and dropped a piece of birthday cake in it.
Oh, no.
All over the strings and the shirt and the gift certificate. I mean, it was the damnedest mess. What are the chances that, you know?
Not very good at that happening again.
Maybe. No, there's no drinking going on out there.
At the club?
No, at the club. No. Well, no drinking.
Well, certainly not at that table.
Well, you've been out there. You're there. Best hamburger steak in the world.
Hey, all right.
It is. Wonderful chop steak.
Absolutely.
What a deal, though.
And then I got this keyboard. Should I tell them that story?
Well, I just hope the person you borrowed it from is not listening.
She's not. No, yeah. She's not. I sprayed some tuner cleaner in this keyboard, and the keys, two of them quit working. Three of them quit working.
It's not good.
Absolutely. It scared me bad.
I bet.
So I called John Justice, emailed him, and he said, let them dry out. Sure enough, they dried out. They worked fine.
Hey, all right.
But don't spray tuner cleaner in your keyboard to unstick the keys. Anybody have any ideas on how to unstick keys? This is a P-Series Roland keyboard. It's an old keyboard, but it's nice. Anybody have any ideas on unsticking these keys? We might get an email.
Send the information to the list if you have a
send it to the list or send it to me personally at phil@philpar.net.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool, huh?
But if they sent it to the list, we all could learn something.
We all could learn something. We could. But don't spray tuna cleaner. We've learned that. We have learned
that. We did learn that, didn't we?
Those are things we've learned. Then there's Don's tube of Edgeways tube.
Yeah, 2x12.
Don, you'll never make it, son.
I don't know. If I get a big enough clamp, I can do it.
Yeah, what a deal, man.
What a deal. You should have looked at those on the ground, though.
Yeah, it would have been nice.
That'll teach you. All right.
Oh, okay.
I guess we're ready for you, Tommy.
Okay. Alan Wheeler writes, hi, everyone. Somewhere in the house is a very elusive mouse. How would I catch it without sighted assistance? In other words, what are the best, most effective kinds of mouse traps? And where do you get them?
Man, I think the most effective are just those little spring-loaded suckers.
Yeah, they make the ones with the glue.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
but then
you gotta
beat the little devils to death once you've caught them.
Yeah.
We tried those, and we hated them because, you know, there's a rat out on the back porch. He stuck to the thing, and we got to hit him with a 2x4.
Yeah.
That would be the problem.
That's the problem, you know.
I saw one by Decon that was advertised on TV the other day, and it was shaped in a circle, and it was like a little house, and a little mouse would walk up in it, and then all of a sudden, this thing spins. They said it killed it instantly, and then you just pick up the little thing and throw it in the garbage.
Throw the whole thing in the garbage.
The whole thing.
Well,
right.
I'd like to see one of those.
That's a new one.
That would be a new one for that list member to look into.
But those little spring traps are reasonably easy to set, and I guarantee you they cannot resist peanut butter.
And also the noise. If you're just sitting there, if you have an idea where this little critter is coming in, we were overrun with them at one point in my life, and you could just sit down and watch TV and hear these things going on. They make a loud pop, and then you pretty well know you've got your dude, you know.
Yeah.
And,
well,
and they're cheap, so just get a handful of paper napkins, pick the whole thing up and drop it in the garbage or fling it out in the woods or wherever you, whatever you want to do. Just throw trapping all away. Don't try to save the trap because you can buy them for 40 cents a piece or whatever, just a little piece of wood with a spring thing on it.
Or the perfect solution for this, Phil, is to go down to the Humane Society and adopt a cat.
A cat.
And
well, now,
forget about that mouse.
All cats aren't mousers, you know.
Yeah, but if you get a good little female cat, it a mouse.
You think so?
Yeah.
In the house, I guarantee you.
Is that right?
Get rid of those mice, huh?
Those tomcats get a little lazy sometimes, but the female cats are usually pretty good mousers.
But if you,
mine's my hero this time, the little tomcat. He's already got one mouse, one snake, and one bird.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Man. Oh, boy.
Well, the bird wasn't bothering anybody.
Yeah, we didn't like that bird. Now, the bird got loose, actually. It was about three times as big as the cat, and I guess I faked him out when I said, kitty, kitty, come and eat, and then he dropped his bird, and the bird flew off.
Yeah. You know, my dogs chase rats, but every fall we have, and the weather starts getting cool, we have some rats come out of the woods. And these aren't mice, folks. They're rats. Hi there.
Yeah,
how are you?
Chickens, I guarantee.
Mind if I come in?
Rats.
That kind of stuff. You know?
Yeah.
Howdy. How's everything going? They're serious rats. But we fixed a place where they got up in the attic, and so it's not so bad anymore. We probably killed 40 the first year we were here, or better.
Wow.
I mean, all kinds of rats. Those dogs will chase them. And I've seen the dogs, you know, once we poisoned them, we kind of crippled them. And Charmer and Charlie could get. Well, you were here one afternoon when they got one around by the pool pump. Shaw, remember?
Yeah,
they got squeaking.
Yeah,
but they aren't very good at it. Anyway, that's. I'd say those little traps in peanut butter, and then you know where the trap is. You know where you put it. You know where it's set. But I'd sure do some looking around and try to figure out where they're coming in. In other words, look around, see if those. What do they call the thing that they push up on, that's on a water pipe that you slide up toward the wall that's a little round?
Escutcheon.
That you push up toward the wall, make sure that's there. If that's back a little bit, maybe it's moved back and they're leaving a hole around the pipe. But you can usually figure out if you look under the sink and down around different places to see where they're coming in. And remember Dewey Compton?
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, Dewey Compton used to be on KTRH 100 years ago. He said, if you leave your door open and you have rats or mice and you ain't watching, they'll think nothing of running in your house.
They can come in, yeah.
So don't leave. Just walk out. I'm gonna walk out to get the mail and just leave the door open because you're liable to get a rat or a mouse in the house. There's one in the garage.
Yeah.
And they're lurking around watching you all the time.
Yeah.
Lurking.
Lurking. I love that word, lurking.
And then they make these decon boxes. You know, I still like the idea that you were talking about, Tom, where they go in the box and the thing spins around and gets, you know, that'd be the ideal thing. Pick up the box and throw it away.
I'd like to see one.
That'd be perfect.
I saw
it
on television. I'm going to have to look at that. I've got to see it myself.
Order one.
But now we've bought the things before that the decon that's in a small box.
Uh-huh.
And you just, tear a tab off the box or something and put it in, like, you know, if you have a hole back. Somewhere in your house, in a closet or somewhere, you just put it back in there and they eat that. And supposedly then they get real thirsty, have to go outside, supposedly, to find water. But, you know, if they don't make it outside, then you got a problem. So, I don't know.
For rats, of course, we've never had a rat in the physical house. We've had them in the attic. We use a thing called Just One Bite. And it comes in like six little packages all kind of strung together. And you just separate them. You don't open the bag. You just stick it up under, you know, wherever you think the rat might be, and brother, he's a dead man.
Oh, that would work.
He's a dead boy. If you it won't be but two or three days, you'll see one of them wandering around, and the dogs will be able to catch him. You know, and they want to go to water too. So occasionally, you ever found one in the skimmer?
No,
I have.
That would be.
I have. That'll shake you
that
up and reach your hand down in the skimmer to empty that sucker, and there's a rat down in there.
No kidding.
That'll shake you right up. I always have someone to look. See, sighted people are good for something.
America's funniest videos. I saw a deal one time where they were showing a commode, and this rat came out of the pipe right up through the water in the commode and came into the house.
Wow.
They had put a camera up there and left and filmed it.
and saw him doing that.
I couldn't believe it. I thought, my God, every time I sit on the throne, I've thought about that.
Well, there'd have to be an open sewer somewhere, an open septic tank or something, because, you know.
It has to be.
He'd have to get in here. He'd have to get in downtown or someplace because there's no.
Yeah, boy, it'd be a long swim.
It'd be a long swim for that big boy.
It sure would.
Good God, Houston, coming up through the pipe. Man.
Ooh,
man.
That's
scary.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, no kidding.
In Houston someplace, maybe like even in an upstairs apartment. A lady heard this noise in her commode, and there was a boa constrictor.
Oh, my God.
Coming through the plumbing.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so, you know, don't sit down.
Really? No kidding.
Can you imagine in the middle of the night, you're kind of, you know, waking up and you're dizzy already.
Yeah.
Man.
All right.
You're some sloshing around in the you know that it's not the dog drinking.
You know that it's.
That's right.
I read an article that a dog wrote one time called Fresh Water versus Toilet Bowl Water. Which do I really like best?
Here's a guy that's having a problem with his automatic garage door opener.
All right, Donald.
He says, okay, my garage door is having a problem. I have fairly new sensors, less than a year old.
Yep.
The lights on the sensors are green, so that's not the problem. The door will go up about a third of the way and just stop.
Okay.
Then I have to monkey with the button, starting it back down, hit it again until it goes up.
Yeah.
I have to repeat this until I get the door up. Sometimes I can get it by hitting the button once or twice. Other times I'm not so lucky. I hate to call Sears out to check it out. As you all know, that can be quite expensive. Has anyone experienced this particular problem?
Okay, yeah, I have a comment about this.
All right.
From a garage door opener that we had a few years ago, and this is, we've talked about this on the list, but for the Reading Radio listeners and non-list members, on the garage door opener that we have had, it had two knobs on the opener unit itself, and they're called travel adjustment knobs, and they control the amount that the door actually travels
before it stops.
On one push of the remote control button before it stops. And it sounds to me like these adjustments need adjusted. That's just simply not letting the door go far enough on each push of the button. And that if that's all it is, that's an easy fix.
Well, or something in the there's something in the track that's trying, because it doesn't take much to make it stop. They want them to be. You know, they want it fixed so if there was a kid laying under the door and it just touched this kid, it would stop.
Yeah, well, yeah, they got that. But what I'm going by is because he said if you push the button several times, it would go on, you know, it would go on and make the run. But it just takes doing it, you know, pushing it more than once. So, but yeah, the sensor is, if it, and I tried that for an experiment. I put a toolbox like underneath the door where it would come down and hit the toolbox rather than going all the way down.
Yeah.
And the idea of the sensor is when it hits whatever, the toolbox, the dog, whatever, you know, whatever it comes in contact with, it reverses and goes back up is the idea for that.
And an elevator door.
There are two knobs in it. That unit is right in the middle of the ceiling, the garage ceiling. It's easy to find.
That's right.
Just take your cane and look around up there till you find it. And there's two knobs on usually on the end facing the house, or on mine it is.
Yeah.
And I got mine so far out of adjustment now that we don't even try to put it down.
So it's time for some adjustments on yours, is it?
Yeah, it is. But I fool with mine a while, but I never. Mine works pretty good. Mine goes most of the way down, but not quite. But then mine's like his. You push the button again. I just don't ever much put mine down.
It's touchy. You know, you just got.
It is really touchy.
And then try it and adjust it some more, and it's just.
And so it's but it's got adjustments on it. But you can adjust it yourself as good as a Sears guy can.
I've had the only problem I've had with mine. We haven't been there a year yet, and just one particular in my little the separate garage is occasionally the little sensors get bumped and they get out of line. I had one that either wasn't tight in its little thing, and like if the door was down, say it would go up, and then it wouldn't go back down again, and it took me forever. To figure anyway, it wouldn't. The little sensor was just not seeing the other
sensor. Aren't those like two little like lights of beam beams of light that's got to see each other before they?
Where are they? I don't even know where they are.
They're down at the bottom, and that's actually where, like, when your animals run across there, that's what makes it break its. if something's in the way, the door won't come down on it. It'll, like if I put a board there, just about putting your toolbox there and letting it come down and hit the toolbox, mine will wait, go down until something makes it see the board. In other words, it won't go all the way down. It'll just immediately start going back up.
Let me clarify that. The older type, like we had the reverse sensor on it. When it come down and hit the object, whatever it would be, it would reverse. The new ones have the they have the sensor, and if the light beam gets broken, then it reverse. Same deal.
It would be the same thing, but it goes back up.
Just a different principle.
Because theoretically, you can cheat mine. In other words, if you had something sticking, say like if I had a sawhorse over here and I had a board going under across the door opening, but it wasn't in the line of sight of these little sensors, the door would come down and hit that.
That's right.
You see.
Or if your dog was standing there, a big, good-sized dog, and had the front legs in and the back legs out, and the light it would just run.
See, that's not good. Anyway, adjust on it a little bit. Don't be afraid of it. It's just a garage door opening. It can't hurt you, and don't be afraid to adjust it.
And you can always call Sears.
That's right. The deal. And you probably know as much about it as a Sears guy. Anyway, try it. See.
All
right, okay, it's time for break, Phil.
Break time.
No, it isn't. Is it?
Yeah.
How time flies.
Food around. I thought I heard something in the background. All right, we'll take a little break. And guest today, Donald, is
Scott Learned.
Scott Learned, and we're going to...
He's going to talk a little bit about this new GPS system that he's just got.
All right, what a guy. Scott will be along in just a minute, and we'll be back with more of the Blind Handyman Show. Hang on.
Hi, my name's Donna, and for the past 5 years I've lived up here in the cold country, Rochester, Minnesota. I'd love to move.
Love
to a
is
place,
blind.
But, you know,
the audio magazine for singles.
Anyway, I'm around 32 years old, give or take a couple of years, and never been married. Oh, come close once or twice, but things just didn't work out.
If you'd like more information about this exciting new magazine, phone toll-free 1-877-222-0679. That's 1-877-222-0679. Or you can receive the same information as an email. Our address is loveisblind, all one word, at blindlikeme.com. That's loveisblind at blindlikeme.com.
On November 7th, 2004, in Houston, Texas, we'll record our 100th Blind Handyman Show, and you're invited to the celebration. We'll arrive Friday, November 5th, at the Sheraton on JFK Boulevard. Saturday, we'll spend the day talking about issues related to blindness. Then Saturday night, it's on to live music and karaoke. Sunday morning at 11 a.m., we'll record our 100th Blind Handyman Show, and we've got something special planned for Sunday afternoon. Then Sunday night, it's more live music and karaoke. A great time to meet old friends and make new ones. For more information, call 936-634-9500 or email philparr@txucom.net. We'll see you in Houston in November. We promise you a great hotel, a good time, and perfect weather. Call 936-634-9500 or email philparr@txucom.net.
Listening to the Blind Handyman, the talk of the blind community. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be a part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
Welcome back to the Blind Handyman Show, number 98. We're just a few shows away from actually being in Houston, Texas with all the folks and playing music and doing the 100th show, and we've got a lot to tell you about that we're going to kind of keep, as the old folks would say, under your hat until then. Yeah. Our guest today is Scott. How do you pronounce your last name, sir?
Learned.
Learned. That's easy enough, isn't it, huh?
That depends.
That depends, huh?
Not for a lot of people.
Where are you? What is your city of origin?
I'm located in Glendale, Arizona.
Glendale, Arizona, which must be a kind of a smallish sort of a town.
Not really, but it's right in the borderline of Phoenix.
So. Oh, okay. So that would it's a little suburb of Phoenix.
Yes.
Kind of a suburb. And what age are you, if you don't mind us asking?
I'm 41.
I guess we ask anyway, whether you mind it or not.
We ask anyway, don't we?
But I'm actually 43.
bunch of jerks we are. Huh? Just ask, stuck it right out there.
That's how it works.
You're not on any of our lists, or did you know about this little show we do or not?
I've heard about it, but I have so many things going on locally and different things that I'm into right now that I just don't have a lot of time.
Yeah,
before Kevin called you last night.
Well, tell us about some of the things you're into. We're all old blind people. We like to know about what other folks are doing.
Oh, yeah. Well, I really enjoy doing things with my hands. I was into woodworking for quite a bit there,
uh-huh.
And now I got bit by the tech bug.
Yeah, man.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah, now I'm into the computer stuff and the GPS and the accessible cell phones and things like that.
But you have done, you say you did some woodwork things in the past.
Yes, I sure do, and I'm really itching to get back into it because I miss the sawdust feel, you know.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to get away from it and then go back and do it again. Yeah. Nice to have that freedom, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. You bet. And when in the summer, it's quite hot when your shop is in the garage, you know, and
yeah,
it tends to kind of keep you away from there.
Yeah. So what do you have? What kind of tools? Do you have any big saws, power saws, or anything?
I sold my radial arm saw not too long ago. It was just too huge for the garage. But I have a combo miter saw,
uh-huh,
and a drill press, and
all right,
a bunch of hand tools, and a cordless drill.
Yeah, I finally had to build another building. I outgrew the garage, and Mama said.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't get anything else in here but your woodwork tools. You got to go or they do, you know. So it was built, so we built another building. But now you're in the summertime, your interests have been in this GPS thing. So yeah. Tell us a little about that, how that works.
Well, I just acquired my Trekker, which is a GPS system that's actually designed for the visually impaired, a couple of weeks ago. So it's uh-huh. still somewhat new to me, but it's just been an awesome tool. I use a dog guide, and I travel around the valley and do the buses and do the walking thing, and it's just been a great help in going to new locations and actually giving me interest to expand, you know, and to go places that I normally wouldn't tend to really venture out on without having a GPS.
So you move around enough to kind of justify having one, right?
Oh, yeah, you bet. And it's, I mean, some of the features on it are great, too. I mean, it has a motorized mode, which is very nice for either being in a vehicle with somebody or being on the bus or being on any kind of public transportation. You can tell where you're at. And
uh-huh.
We all know at times we can be with people and we have no idea where we're,
yeah,
where we're at the point and what streets we're crossing. And so it's great help in that aspect, too. When it comes to bus drivers, who we all know, people who take the bus, they don't always call out the intersection looking for, you know.
Yeah.
Like, oh, just pass my stop.
Yeah.
Okay, so this has detailed enough maps that it actually will tell you the street your bus is crossing as it crosses it?
Yes.
That's awesome.
It has different modes. It has a browsing offline mode.
Uh-huh.
You can look, if you're going into a different town, you can purchase some maps. And before you get there, you can kind of walk around, do a virtual walk around and see what kind of point of interest, restaurants and different locations,
mm-hmm.
You know, where they're at before you get there.
That is neat.
Plan your route. And then it has a motorized mode, which I was explaining to you about being in vehicles and being on buses and stuff, where it'll give you less verbosity if the people are familiar with that at all.
Yeah, depending on how much you want it to tell you.
Exactly. And then it has a pedestrian mode, which when you're walking, it gives you more verbosity, more detailed information. And also has a free mode. So when you would walk off into a parking lot or a college campus or far enough away from a main street, it'll go into what's called a free mode where you can search for certain points of interest in that area. and it'll tell you the degree of angle and how many feet that point of interest is from you.
Man.
So you can, it can help you walk to that. Oh, yeah, I found a CompUSA about 600-something feet off the side of a busy street that I actually created a point of interest at.
So you, but you stored that, so it'll know. You knew there was a CompUSA there somewhere?
Yes, I was there actually before that, and I created a point of interest while I'm standing in front of the store.
Okay, and so it knew how to take you back to there.
Well, yeah, it gives you, it searches for them, and it tells you which way to go and how many degrees and how many feet to walk
that
to it.
That is neat.
And
what a deal.
And you just follow it.
Now, are you online all the time you're using this or not?
You don't have to be. The device actually is what's great about the trackers, they use off-the-shelf hardware.
Yeah.
And the PDA itself is an HP iPack 4150. It's the model that I have. And they actually built the software to work with that iPack for us. So it keeps the cost down, I think, and it just makes it a little bit more portable.
That was my next question. Is this what? How much? How cumbersome is this? Is just the size of a PDA or what?
Yeah, it's a little bit. It's a little bit more to it than that. Because if you think about it, we have to also have a speaker.
Yes, sir, we do.
Speech, and there's also a battery pack, and a GPS antenna, which is all attached to almost like a nylon shoulder strap. So if you'd ever carry like a case, you know, over your shoulder, that's kind of how it connects on the ends with little clips. So it kind of hangs over your shoulder and rests on your right side.
Now, where is the antenna? Is it in the strap or where's...
Yes, the antenna is Velcroed and sits on top of the strap, right up on your shoulder. And right down from your shoulder, up by your chest, you have a speaker, which is about 2 inches long, about 1 inch wide, and half inch thick, and it clips onto the strap, and you can move it around in different... You know, if you're wearing a jacket in the winter or whatnot, you can take your strap off. And
so you don't have earphones? You don't have headphones?
Yes, actually I did. I bought an earpiece.
Yeah.
That would be a good option.
You just want a single earpiece where you have to leave your other ear free.
Yes.
Because you still want to, black guys don't want to be where they can't hear.
Exactly.
You don't want to be.
Well, I use that to be a little bit more discreet when it comes to like buses and things like that.
Yeah.
But when I'm on the street, I pretty much use a trekker because, I want to get safely across the intersection.
Have you got guide dog there with you also?
Yes.
So you are covered. You've got the GPS going for you, and you've got your left hand on your right hand on your dog's harness.
Yeah, my left hand on my harness, my right hand on the trekker.
That is.
So you are covered.
You could go anywhere.
You could go anywhere with that thing. Well, this actually it sees the satellite and it gives you some lock in. Okay, I've got the satellite when you go outside, right?
Yes.
Tells you that you have the satellite, and you can punch a button and it'll say you are at the corner of Elm and Go Street.
Yes.
And so you know to start walking. And when you start walking, does it tell you businesses you pass if you set the verbosity high?
Well, see, that's the thing is the maps are made by Navtech, and they design the maps. So the points of interest that come with the maps in each city are ones that they have created already.
Okay.
And Vistawade, they just make the maps, those points of interest accessible with Trekker.
Okay. But you can create more points of interest anytime, thousands if you want them. Anytime you want them.
Mm-hmm. Wherever you're located, if you find a driveway that you want to get into a certain area or a really dangerous location or in front of a home or whatnot, or like I said, CompUSA, some stores that aren't on points of interest, you can create a really quick little recording and go back and edit it later.
Yeah, go back and store it permanently and edit it later. But you put a quick recording, like making a bookmark.
Yes.
Then.
Yeah.
And then you, well, what a deal.
Bad dog at this house and this driveway.
Go ahead, Pat.
What? Yeah, I was going to ask, all right, it's a PDA, all right, but maybe how do you load your software into it? Do you have to do it online, or does it have a disk or a memory card? Or
from your computer, I mean.
Yeah. Well, when you purchase the trekker, it already comes with your county map, where you're living in, and the trekker software is already installed.
Right.
Okay.
So I want to download. I mean, I want to put in there a city map of Houston, Texas. I'm going there on vacation. How do I do that?
Well, the HPI pack uses a secure digital card that's already installed in it, and you would load up the CD. And what you have to do first is install ActiveSync, which is part of the HP software.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
You know about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you just use your cradle. Comes with a little cradle at the
docking station thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And you just transfer it through that, so it doesn't take that long.
But from the USB on your computer, right?
Yes.
But
yes.
You would purchase this map from the people that made the software, right?
I'm sorry, I really have a hard time hearing, gentlemen.
How would you get the map? I mean, do you go somewhere and purchase the map, or what? Or does it come with your? Do you get lots of maps with your original purchase, or do you go buy other maps, or what?
Well, you get the map when your location with the trekker, and you can either purchase other maps.
Okay.
As you go, or you can buy the map of the United States, which you can either for the same price. You can either get it sent to you on disk, or you can download the file off of their website.
All right.
In the States.
Okay, now the big question comes, how much does this thing cost? Here's the big question.
Well, it's $1,595. Yes.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, more than a Victor Reader, but not a hell of a lot more.
No, not a lot more.
You know?
Well, what's really exciting is the Maestro, which is going to be coming out soon, will make this a fully accessible PDA. And that will actually be an upgrade of $300. So I'll have a fully accessible PDA, and you will be able to run a Daisy Reader off this, I believe, in the near future, too. So
really?
It's really open to a lot of things. And for the price, I mean, you know, it's going to be great.
Yeah,
it's also Bluetooth-capable, too. So I think you'll be able to use a Bluetooth keyboard.
Oh, really?
And eventually a Bluetooth receiver.
And eventually you'll be able to, it'll be a cell phone also and a camera. And,
yeah.
And, Scott, do you have a wife?
Do I know?
I didn't think you did.
No.
I wouldn't think you did. Spending $1,500 for this, I just said right offhand, Scott ain't married, is he? Huh?
Well, I don't have a Braille note or a Pac-Mate too, so I mean.
Yeah.
You look at the cost of one of those items.
Oh, yeah, man.
Well, they're $5,000, aren't they?
Yeah.
The Braille notes and Pac-Mates?
So, I don't think that much. But.
So actually, this is a good deal for $1,500, and it's upgradable online. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the maps and the trekker software is, and that's what's nice about having the off-the-shelf hardware too. You know, it's not proprietary where they can, you know, using that it keeps the cost down.
Sure, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah, if thousands of truckers are using it, it's going to be a whole lot cheaper than just if us 500 or 600 blind people bought one. So,
oh, yeah.
Do you plan to get rid of your dog guide now? Or do you...
Oh no. It does not replace a dog or a cane. You cannot use this separately. GPS is only as good as GPS. You know, as good as the satellites are can get, but it's not perfect by far. Right. So. It does not replace a cane or a guide.
Or a dog guide. When you're in a bus or a car, how do you see the satellite? Do you have to hold the antenna up to the window? Or?
No, it just comes through. I mean, it can come through in some rooms in the house, too. I've had it find the connections in a home.
Speaking of dog guides.
Yeah, no kidding.
What's his name?
Oh, his name is Baylor.
Baylor's seen something.
I was hoping he wasn't going to do this.
Baylor's seen something he doesn't approve of. What is Baylor's problem?
I don't know. He's in the other room. He probably sees a squirrel or something.
Well, you can't blame a dog for, you know, like you listen to the show and you'd hear my dog, Frankie Brown, who raises hell all the time because we won't let her in the studio because she'd get tangled up in the wires and and turn something over. So we, you know.
I think he just wants to get in on this. He knows it's, you know, you're recording this. Or...
Knows we're talking.
Right.
Knows we're talking about him and wants to get in on it. So, what do you do for a living? Do you have a job?
Actually, right now I'm a tech consultant, and I'm going to get deeper into helping people with visual impairments. You know, with the access technology.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of a desire of mine. I want to see affordable, and I want to see people have the equipment that's out there and have access to it.
Yeah.
I think it's just great. It's awesome how it's progressing so quickly. and it's just making some things much easier for us, being
sure.
visually impaired.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I kind of really have that.
I may be aware of an online company that may be available, Scott.
Yeah.
nominal fee.
Have you...
sell this accessible equipment,
have
man.
You always been blind, sir, or did you lose your vision later on in life?
Yes, I lost it 14 years ago.
Due to...
I had juvenile diabetes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just gradually went, and now you're total.
Yes.
And so your idea is to make technology and these kinds of things accessible to more blind people.
Yeah, I'm trying to work with them because, I mean, it can be very expensive.
Sure it
the
can.
The technology itself and actually even getting, you know, even getting things installed and it's just it's a lot of money. And when it comes out of someone's pocket, you know, it does cost us more to get the technology, but it's wonderful. So not everybody has the money for it, but... you know,
well, that's one of the reasons things are priced so high is because they figure the commissions for the blind are going to buy them anyway. So, and the government's got plenty of money, but that's wrong because, you know, the first version of JAWS that I got, I bought myself.
Yeah, you sure did.
And wouldn't have had it if I hadn't because the commission was unwilling. They finally said, well, if you're going to buy yourself one, we'll buy you one. That doesn't make any sense, but... You know how they are. You've dealt with them.
Mm-hmm.
And you are working for an agency, or you're working on your own? Or
yeah, pretty much on my own. I'm also doing some volunteer work, too, out here, working, helping people in the computer class.
All right.
Computing, so.
Can you, some blind person wants a computer, do you get it and set it up for them? I mean, is that something you're going to do, or what?
That's one reason why I had a trekker, too, because I want to make that... something that I would like to do. I'd like to be able to be kind of mobile. So if I need to go to someone's home and help them, you know, set a system up or explain mm-hmm. to them, you know, what needs to be done and what their needs are, too.
Yeah.
You know, not everybody wants the same.
So you're going to try to do this independent of any government agency.
Yes.
On your own. Well, you know, all I can do is wish you luck and hope you... hope you're able to do this. Have you filed for 501c3 yet? Nonprofit?
No.
Well, you might as well do that.
Might as well.
But I do have the trekker. I mean, I'm not sure how much time we have left. Do you guys like to even hear it?
Yes, sir. Well, that would be bad. We got a few minutes. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, see you.
All right. That was its warm-up note. Letting you know that it's on. Why did I pick this time during the show to fix this on my microphone? Quit that, Phil. Just stop that. Stop messing with your microphone and do the show here, you idiot. What's wrong with me? What happened to Trekker? We're not hearing.
I just lost my plug here.
You lost your plug.
Uh-huh.
All right, that'll happen. Even the blind people can lose their plug while they're plugging along there.
Yeah.
Doesn't have a wife. I could tell that.
Oh, what did I just do here?
What did you do? It went off, didn't it, huh?
I hope I wasn't... I hit something on the screen here before.
I wish you could come to Houston and show this to our group.
Yeah, no kid. I was just thinking the same thing.
It would be great. We're doing the 100th Blind Handyman Show in Houston in 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And it would be nice if you could bring this thing down and
demo it.
Of course, it costs a lot of money. If we really wanted you to come, I guess we'd pay your way, wouldn't we? Huh? We don't have the money to pay our way, hardly.
Wow.
That's the problem,
isn't it?
Have you lost your power source?
I don't know. I think what I got here.
Man, for a traveling person, though, that would be the ideal thing to have, wouldn't it?
But it doesn't operate on batteries. I mean, we shouldn't need it.
Yeah.
Now I hear noises.
I have the speaker actually.
Now we're hearing noises. Go ahead.
Okay.
All right. Activate.
That's a root submenu, actually.
All right.
I'm trying to get my speaker.
Settings submenu.
Got a setting, so it basically have submenus like you would
on anything else. Yeah. Can you give us more volume?
Yeah, I'm trying to get my speaker. This is actually the PDA itself, so
okay.
Even without the.
All right. Well, this is no worse than a guy into the house. You know, a couple weeks ago, a guy into the house who was lifting his house with wrenches. You could hear him. You know, it was good. We like demonstrations on.
Yeah.
On it. You know.
Oh. That's Murphy's Law, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not working.
Amazing.
All right. Well, we may call you back in a couple of weeks.
I was going to say, Scott, yeah, you're in luck because we always need a guest. So.
We always need a guest.
We always can use a guest.
No question about that. Murphy's Law.
No, but it's just been an awesome tool.
It has.
I don't know why I can't get my speaker up.
You can't. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to give you a couple weeks and call you back once you figure it all out.
That'll work.
And it sounds like you're dealing with this blindness thing very well, and we want to keep in touch and let you know if we can give you any help with your company. Let us know, sir.
All right, great. Well, thank you very much.
And we thank you. When you get it named and get ready to go, give us a call, and we'll give you some free publicity. How about that?
Okay.
That's right.
Good, sir.
Wonderful.
All right, Scott Lerner's been our guest. Back in just a minute with more of the Blind Handyman Show. Hang on.
For the past 5 years, I've lived up here in the cold country, Rochester, Minnesota. I'd love to move.
Love
to a
is
place,
blind.
But, you know,
the audio magazine
you know
for singles.
Anyway, I'm around 32 years old, give or take a couple of years, and never been married. Oh, come close once or twice, but things just didn't work out.
If you'd like more information about this exciting new magazine, phone toll free 1-877-222-0679. That's 1-877-222-0679. Or you can receive the same information as an email. Our address is loveisblind, all one word, at blindlikeme.com. That's loveisblind at blindlikeme.com. On November 7th, 2004, in Houston, Texas, we'll record our 100th Blind Handyman Show, and you're invited to the celebration. We'll arrive Friday, November 5th, at the Sheraton on JFK Boulevard. Saturday, we'll spend the day talking about issues related to blindness. Then Saturday night, it's on to live music and karaoke. Sunday morning at 11 a.m., we'll record our 100th Blind Handyman Show, and we've got something special planned for Sunday afternoon. Then Sunday night, it's more live music and karaoke. A great time to meet old friends and make new ones. For more information, call 936-634-9500 or email philparr@txucon.net. We'll see you in Houston in November. We promise you a great hotel, a good time, and perfect weather. Call 936-634-9500 or email philparr@txucon.net.
This is the Blind Handyman. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often from blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here's more of the show with Don Shaw.
Man, new technology. I just love it.
I do too.
Wouldn't that be a deal, you know, like for Henry Caspin on the list, you know, someone that travels a lot with their job or whatever. Man, that just seems like it would be the thing to have.
The GPS thing?
Yeah. You know,
well,
a major city.
If I could justify it, I'd have one. I just can't. I don't go anywhere. I mean, walking from here to the beer fridge, I know my way pretty well.
Yeah.
And there just isn't much point, is there, you know?
But what a deal, man. You'd get to your hotel and you'd be there and you would be saying what restaurants are available in this area, and you'd be able to find out.
Hello.
In a minute. It's just the technology is just so fine. We're living in a really neat time.
Can I call you back?
And speaking of technology, I want to talk about something today that's not really technical. And what I want to talk about is misplaced service calls to your service technician folks when you think you have a problem. And you misjudge it, and the service people don't do as much for you as you think that should happen. And I'll give two examples of that. One is when we had the flood here a while back, we had got wet carpet in the house. And this is the first flood that we'd ever really been in, you know, first time the house had flooded. So we thought, well, you know, we would call the carpet people, and in some of the rooms that aren't that bad, you know, we would have them extract the water out of the carpet. So we called the carpet cleaning people, and they came out to our house as well as probably a dozen other ones that evening. And they came out and they had the big giant, it's like a big gigantic wet dry vacuum cleaner that's on the truck.
Really?
And they brought the gigantic big giant hose in the house that's probably, I don't know, the hose is probably as big around as your leg. Big gigantic hose. And
this was who? Dennis Dutton?
No, it wasn't. Oh, man, they were so busy. They were probably busy for 3 days after the flood. It was somebody similar, another carpet company.
Okay.
That, you know, kind of probably did the same thing.
That's the same kind of stuff.
But anyway, they came out, and they did. They extracted the water out of the carpet, which was, you know, thought everything was great, man. That's going to save us in the end.
But it didn't.
And we paid them, you know, and like, I don't know, $100 or so. And they left, and we said, well, we're in better shape now. But damned if an hour later, he walk across the carpet, and you could tell just, you know, by stepping on it, there was water back in it again.
There was still water in it.
There was still water in the padding. And what happened is it probably just seeped out from somewhere else, and, you know, just it was just back to square one. Just so that 90 something dollars, man, was just waste.
$900 was waste.
Not to interrupt you too, that also doesn't take out the mud and all of that, does it? I mean,
probably not a lot of the dirt that was really underneath it. Probably didn't. No, but we learned that after we pulled the carpet that that service call, calling the carpet people after your carpet gets really wet, is not the thing to do.
If your carpet's wet, the only thing to do is replace it, unless it's a rug you can pick up and lay out on the, you know, picnic table or something.
Yeah, the only choice is
just replace it. There's no, you know.
Yeah, just pull it, and I guess, you know, that's the only thing to do.
Is that Houston wandering in and out there?
It is. It would be Tom Houston entering the room here. That dog.
That dog, and I couldn't figure who was. I could account for three of y'all.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Houston, wet wonder. Frankie.
Anyway, what was the other misplaced service call?
Oh, the other bad judgment that I made here recently on a service call. Man, I'm getting tired of calling these service people for nothing. I guarantee it's not a good deal. The thing that happened to me a couple of days ago was I was getting ready to hit the rack and opened the freezer door, reached in the freezer to get the ice out of the ice bucket, and all the ice was frozen together in the ice bucket. I said, man, somebody must have left that ice bucket out of the freezer, and the ice froze together, and then they, you know, they just put it back in the freezer. So I said, well, I won't say what I said. I just took the bucket, ice bucket, and emptied it. I emptied all the ice out, rinsed it out, put it back in the freezer, and hit the rack. Didn't think any more about it until the next morning when I got up and I was going to get a glass of ice for my Dr. Pepper. And the ice tray, you guessed it, everything was frozen together again in the ice bucket. So then I got to thinking, well, maybe we have a problem here. Just a slight little problem. Apparently no one did leave it out of the freezer the night before. It just froze together. I said, man, what kind of problem have I got here? So I took the grill off at the bottom of the refrigerator and checked all in there. And, it was reasonably clean. And, the refrigerator, of course, was running. And it was the fan was working. You know, everything seemed to be working there. Opened the freezer. The freezer was blowing out cold air. So I said, man, this is strange. I just wonder if it's got something to do with the defrost cycle. You know, because when they go into the defrost mode, the defrost part comes on, I think, and heats the walls of the freezer. And then, you know, it shuts off and goes back into the regular mode. I got to thinking, well, maybe it's doing that like too long.
Maybe it's stuck on or something?
Yeah. You know, maybe it's letting the ice melt and then it's going back into the the regular mode and then it's refreezing, or, you know, what's the deal here? So I said, man, I guess I need to call these service people again. So I did. I called the old appliance doctor. Good name there, by the way, I think. And they said, sure, we can come out this afternoon between 2 and 4. Will anyone be home? And we said, yeah, we sure will. And we'll be waiting for you. And sure enough, they came out. The guy was real nice. Looked it over. Seemed like he knew what he was doing. And you know how it is. They got to kill a little time. And probably, I don't know, 30 minutes or so later, after he had taken out the bottom of the freezer and, you know, half of the walls around the top of the freezer and things like that, he said, well, I think it's your ice maker. And what happened is, and I didn't know this, but an ice maker has a heater.
Yes, it does.
On the bottom of the ice maker, that when the cycle of ice is almost done, this heating element comes on.
Heats the walls so the ice can kick out.
Yeah, heats the bottom of the ice maker so that it'll help the ice turn loose and come out.
And
stuck on. What happened was that heating element got stuck on in the on position and was melting the ice in the ice bucket and making the freezer run, like, longer than it should. Isn't that a deal?
Okay, I knew about the heater. I never had one.
So, what was the bottom line on your
new ice maker?
You could have put the ice maker in yourself.
Yeah, if I would have known it would have had the heater in it, I would have just taken the damn thing out and saved myself the service call and bought a new ice maker.
They just come out. I mean, you can just, three or four screws will take it out.
Did you let him fix it, or you fixed it?
No. I just told him, you know, since he was there, and which he had it out anyway, just go ahead and leave it out, and I'll pay you, and I'm going to look around and find a good price on a new ice maker and put it back in myself.
Which you've already done.
Let me tell you.
Not yet.
You haven't. Why
that's
not?
The one appliance.
Haven't found a good price on one yet.
That refrigerator is the one appliance. When we bought a five-year insurance thing that covers everything. Labor, in-home labor. That's the only, TVs, it's just all profit. I mean, TV's either going to work or not. It's not worth fixing. Washing machine, about the same thing. But that ice maker, that's a pretty hefty...
It's real mechanical.
The refrigerator's a hefty investment. And I think that costs for 5 years, 200 and something bucks. Man, I consider that, if I don't need it.
Yeah.
You know. I'll tell you this, Don Shaw, you know what I'd do? I'd put that ice maker back in.
Well, I was going to say, use ice cubes for a while.
No,
that's what we're doing.
I'd put the ice maker back in, see if it unstuck and works.
Well, actually, there's another problem. Actually, I took the end off the ice maker after we took it out of the refrigerator, and something burned. You could smell it. Some contacts or something burned in the end of the ice maker. Right. And there's another problem. That's the next thing I want to talk about.
All right.
Everybody that's got ice makers might want to kind of watch for this. My wife had been saying here for the last, I don't know, month or two, off and on, just every once in a while, you know, I see a speck of something here in this ice cube or in this glass of water. And I've been talking, actually, about taking the ice maker out and investigating that. And you know how it goes, just hadn't gotten around to it, just hadn't taken it out. Was going to one day, but you know how it is. But anyway, come to find out, after this ice maker had been taken out, got to looking around in it, talking to the service repair man about it, and what the deal is, these ice makers have a Teflon coating.
And it was coming off.
Inside of the ice maker, and where the cubes freeze, and it was flaking.
How old is this refrigerator?
It's not old, and that's what the guy said. That's what the service repairman said. If you have an ice maker even 4 or 5 years old, you need to start watching for this because it happens on a lot of them. And about the only thing you can do is just change out the whole ice maker. Just get a new one.
So what's the price on probably the one that'll fit your, what are you talking, dollars?
Talking $150 here locally, but I think it can be found cheaper.
Okay, but if you would have let him, you paid him his service fee anyway, so if you would have had the ice maker and let him put it in, he could have done it with that service charge, right?
Well, the only thing is he wouldn't have had one with him. He'd have had to go hunt one. He'd have marked it up $75.
Yeah, he would have.
Because he wouldn't have had one with him that fit your fridge.
Yeah, I think he told me $150, and then I guess whatever the labor would be for them to put it in. So
Which wouldn't be much.
Which shouldn't be much, but...
So I guess it's really time for me to buy a new fridge, isn't it? You know, when you think about it. Because
well,
my ice maker...
replace the beer fridge with the fridge in the house.
That's what I'm thinking about doing. And that's what I did the last time. Lou Ann just had a fit when I drilled a hole in the front of this new fridge. I thought she was going to, you know, she just couldn't understand. Of course, we won't have to do that because we don't keep a keg anymore.
We don't have
a
keg.
Yeah,
so put that fridge and buy a new fridge. I guess I need to do that, really. It's time to, because the beer fridge really looks bad, doesn't it?
It's old.
That refrigerator has run 26 years and has never been serviced.
Wow.
Now, the ice maker long since quit working, but it's run 26 years.
It keeps the beer cold.
And it keeps the beer cold as you want it right now, doesn't it?
It sure do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It sure do.
Who dat say who dat when I say who dat? All right. Look, got to go. We'll do number 99 next week and the next one in Houston, Texas. Thank you, Don Patterson.
Yes,
Don
100.
Shaw.
Yeah.
Tom Houston.
Yes, sir.
We appreciate your help. And our guest, Scott Lerner, with his GPS up there going, I don't know this damn thing won't. Anyway, we'll see you next week. More of the Blind Handyman. Trump told Parr, he said, the blind man, as you picked up his hammer and saw. Bye-bye.
Blind Handyman is produced by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.